this the collector? Is this the collector?
I'm not sure.
Okay. It's okay. You just do it for me, right? Okay. All right. So good to be here, brothers and sisters. Since I wasn't here last Sunday, allow me to greet you in this way. Happy Easter, everyone. Yeah, may the peace of our resurrected Lord be with you. You know, we have to be reminded that Easter is not just an event that happened long time ago and that we celebrated only once a year, but we need to know that because of what happened, because Jesus risen from the dead, because he is alive, it changes the way we live our lives. So today we're going to look at a story in the Bible where we find the disciples of Jesus after the resurrection, just like today, right? After the resurrection and they gathered, but they lived as if Jesus never resurrected from the dead. They treated it like it was something that happened in the past, and they went back to their original lifestyle. So, yes, they walked with Jesus, and they saw Jesus do great things, but it was in the past. But Jesus wanted to remind them and remind us today that because of the resurrection, because Jesus lives today, it changes the way we live our lives. So God has a message for every one of us today. So I'd like to invite us to all stand and read today's passage. John chapter 21. Let's all stand, can we? Let's all stand. John chapter 21. We're going to read from verses 3 to 9 and then 17 to 19. Let's read together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him said, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So let's look at the outline for today's message. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, because he lives today, we have these four things: hope, power, peace, and purpose. So let's look at hope. Hope. So Peter said, "I am going out to fish," in verse 3. Now the statement is not as simple and innocent as it seems here. It's not like Peter saying, "Hey, guys, since we have nothing better to do, let's kill some time. And it's the fishing season anyways. Let's go fishing." It's not like that. Commentaries tell us that this has the language of going back to something. Going backwards. And it should be translated I am going back to fishing. The focus is not on fishing, but the focus is on going back. Back to a lifestyle. You remember this. Back to a lifestyle before Jesus became Lord of his life. See, this statement, I am going back to fishing, it reveals the spiritual state in Peter's heart at this time. He was at such a low point of his life that he had, in a way, kind of giving up, kind of given up. He digressed. He backslid, gone back to his old way, to his BC, we call that BC days, BC ways before Christ, right? We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all had times when we're so tired and discouraged from doing what is right, doing the right things that we said to ourselves. What's the use? Why even bother, right? Why even bother trying? We've all said that, right? Where we kind of just have the attitude of giving up. I remember talking to a young man who was living in sin with his girlfriend. I cared about this young man. I wanted God to bless him and his relationship. So toward the end of our conversation, I said to him, you know, before you do anything, because he was asking me for advice. You know, what should we do? Where do we go? How do we go forward? And I said, you know, before you do anything, before you think about anything, you need to first ask for repentance. You need to repent in your heart. You need to see the seriousness of your sin. You need to ask God to forgive you. Before you do anything, ask God for his forgiveness in your life. He took it well. He took it because he knew I care about him. And that's what he was supposed to do. He knew that. But then he said something that I would never forget. He said, why do that? Why do that when I know that I'm going to do it again? Do you hear what's going on here? Yes, you know, this is the spirit of disobedience there, right? And there's a spirit of maybe rebellion there. But I hear more than that. I hear the attitude of hopelessness. Why try? Why even go there? Why ask God's forgiveness? Right? What good is it? What's the use? There's no hope. Same thing right here. Peter, right? Jesus had just resurrected from the dead. John chapter 20, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was victorious over death. There was hope. There was life. In heaven, there's rejoicing. There's a party. There's a celebration going on. But Peter here was living as if Jesus never resurrected from the dead. And today, I think we need to acknowledge this fact that it is very possible for believers of Jesus Christ to live as if Jesus never resurrected from the dead. It's very possible. Very possible. I want to show you this picture. You guys know this ride? Yeah? You guys know this ride? It's a very popular ride. It's Splash Mountain of Disneyland. I'm just curious. Anybody have been on this ride? Anyone? Anyone? Been to Disneyland? Of course, right? It's the most popular ride. So you know, when you're on this ride, you're just full of joy and excitement because you're going so fast, right, down, and your heart is coming out of your chest right now. And not only that, there's on top of this joy and excitement, there's this a little bit of fear and anticipation. Why? Because you're about to get wet, right? You're going into the water, and you know, this all these feelings kind of lump together, and all you can do is just let yourself go and go nuts. You know, it's because all these joyful feelings. But I want you to look at that woman sitting right there. Look at that woman. Can you believe that? I mean, this is the happiest place known to man, Disneyland. This is on the craziest ride, full of joy, excitement, and anticipation. But she looked like me when I'm constipated. You know, I wonder how often we look like that. How often in this crazy ride called the Christian life, we look like that. We look like that. Yes, Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus is alive, but there's no joy. There's no hope there. See, resurrection of Jesus Christ is supposed to make all the difference in the world, even in the face of our greatest enemy, which is death. Greatest enemy. Look at a few passages here. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's all read together. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died, He rose again. We have victory even over our greatest enemy, death. And that's why, let's look at this next passage. Let's read together. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Yes, life can be hard, and it's so challenging, and it's okay. It's okay to grieve, like this passage tells us, but it says, we grieve, but not without hope, like the rest of the world, because we are people who believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. And because he's risen, because he lives, that gives us eternal hope. Let's look at the second thing, power. Power. So today's story goes on to tell us that as the disciples, as they went back to fishing, it says they caught nothing. They caught nothing. And no, these were professional fishermen. These were pros. They were the best. Right? This is what they do for a living, but they caught nothing. So verse 5, Jesus asked them this question. Friends, haven't you any fish? Haven't you any fish? Now, isn't that kind of obvious? Right? Is that kind of obvious? Why did Jesus ask them this question? Friends, haven't you any fish? Commentaries tell us that this question that Jesus asked was purposely asked in a negative way. In fact, the original language, there were only two words. Two words. Can we see these two words? These, no fish. That's Jesus' question. Two words. No fish. No fish. Now, if it were up to us to ask the disciples a question, right? You know, they were fishing, and we, let's say we walked up to them and we asked them a question about fish. And we were given two words. What would we ask? Right? Tell me, what would you ask? If you see somebody fishing, what would you ask? Two words. Any luck? Any luck? Any luck, right? Very positive, right? Any luck? Or got any, right? Yeah. Or how many? How many? Or I another one, well, what kind, right? Right, that's a fisherman's language. What kind? I thought about this. If it were up to me to ask two words, it would be this. Got fish? Yeah, that's cool, huh? Like got milk, right? Got fish? Hey, got fish? Very positive. But no, Jesus says, literally says, no fish? That's like rubbing it in. That's like, you got nothing, do you? Wow. Why would Jesus do this? I mean, what was he trying to do? Because Jesus wanted them to see something. And Jesus wants us to see something. That apart from him, we got nothing. Apart from him, the Bible says, we can do nothing. We need help. We need God's help. We need power. We are so weak. See, we don't want to admit this in our lives, but we are weak people. We are weak. We need more power. We need strength. And that's why, have you noticed, but there's a lot of things in this life that we use and that we purchase, that we want, that has power, the word power in it. For example, you know your smartphones? To prevent it from dying, what do you use? Power, is it called power strip, right? Right? The battery thing, power strip. Power strip, right? Source of power. And how about this? When to prevent ourselves to last a long day and prevent ourselves from being hungry, we have power bars. Right? Power bars. Granola bars that we eat. And to get some rest. To get some rest. Because we're so busy, but we need a short time of rest and be recharged. We call that power naps. I'm gonna take a power nap. All right, give me 10 minutes. Get power nap. I'm gonna get. The other day, one of my girls, she just has so much homework to do, and she's just so stressed out and have so much to do, and so I walked by her and I saw her playing video games, computer games on her laptop. I said, "What are you doing? I thought you have a lot to do." She said, "Daddy, I'm taking a power break." Okay. All right. To be healthy and, to exercise in a short time, we take power walks, right? Power walk. How about this? To make ourselves look extra nice, I wear my power tie, right? I walked in this today. Somebody said, "Oh, handsome man, thank you." That's the point. Power tie. Yeah. See, let's just be honest. Let's be honest. Let's admit, right? We don't want to admit this, but we need power. We need help. We need help. We are weak. But the good news of Easter is that, you know what? Although we are weak, God's power, the power of Jesus is in us. Look at this passage, Ephesians 1, 19, 20. Let's read together. "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." That's for all of us. That the good news of Easter is that same mighty power, that resurrection power that blasted the tomb wide open, that power is there for us. Wow, we have that power. We have Christ's resurrection power in us. Okay, more passages. Look at these passages. Let's read together. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now, it's very important, inner being. You know why? Because on the outside, or in this world, we shall have trouble. We shall have tribulation. But Paul says, I pray for your inner being, that you will have strength, power in your inner being. That's very important. That's what we need. Yes, on the outside, we cannot control our outward circumstances very often, but